Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports joins me today. I want to get his impressions of what he saw between the Steelers and Chargers. Back-to-back strange losses for the Steelers, and we've been talking about it all week. Of course, the referees, the officiating had so much to do with that game, but what did Chris see from the tape, from the play on the field? Are there things to be worried about with this team? Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball so often and throwing so many interceptions. You got linebackers covering wide receivers. James Conner out of the lineup now. The defense isn't getting turnovers. Want to get his impressions on all of that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit the like button and make sure you join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with Thursday's practice report. Ramone Foster had the day off. He was given a Veterans Day off, so he did not practice. Anthony Ciccolo did not practice again with that ankle injury, so he's missed now Wednesday and Thursday practice. Makes him unlikely to go on Sunday. You'd like to see him practice in some capacity on Friday, and maybe he can be a game-time decision. But in all likelihood, I think he will not play. And that opens the door for Oladini to get more reps and really opens the door for a guy like Keon Adams to even potentially be added to the 53. I'd be very interested to see how the Steelers handle this over the next couple days because Anthony Ciccolo, the only real veteran they had at the edge rush position as a backup. So we'll see how the Steelers address that. Connor didn't practice. We knew that was going to happen. Marcus Gilbert didn't practice again. And I think it's, at this point, you got to start wondering whether or not IR is an option there, especially if the Steelers need to start making roster moves. Ryan Switzer practiced again in a full capacity. He's still in the concussion protocol. Practicing, though, for a second day in a row means he's got to be really close to coming out of that, and he should be good to go on Sunday. Same can be said for safety Morgan Burnett, who's been out for a little while with that back injury. He practiced in a full capacity for the second day in a row, so he seems like he's going to be good to go on Sunday. He's not moving in the wrong direction. No setback for him. So Burnett will be available, as will Roosevelt Nix with that shoulder and Cameron Kanaday with that knee. They both practice fully on Thursday as well. And let's bring in Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports. He is a football analyst for them, does his film breakdowns in his Carter classrooms. Chris, welcome back to Locked On Steelers.
Hey, Tony. Always great to be on, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man, great having you on. Let's start with this game against the Chargers, because another weird one. The Steelers have now lost two in a row, though you come out of both games saying, boy, what a strange game that was. Felt like the Steelers had a lot of opportunities to win. It feels like the Steelers are playing poorly now, right? Because they've lost two in a row. They didn't play well against the Jaguars. They really should have lost that football game. And yet, you look at the product on the field, and maybe not as bad as a two-game losing streak seems. What's going on with the Steelers right now?
I think you're seeing some inconsistency issues. There's times that they're lighting it up, and then there's times you see them stall and they're trying to figure things out. If you remember last week, I wrote about how I think defenses are starting to figure out Ben Roethlisberger's tendencies in this Randy Feuchner offense. And I really think that that's becoming the case with the better defenses out there, or at least the more organized ones. Whereas the Jaguars are a team that just has the talent to just run with you. I saw between the Broncos and the Chargers, I really think the teams are starting to see, hey, he likes, when they come out in this kind of personnel group or this kind of alignment, he normally looks to this part of the field or this player. And I saw that whenever the Chargers, they would often line up eight guys in the box and, look like they're throwing an all-out blitz, and then they'd only rush four or five, and then a bunch of guys would just drop into space and they'd cover the right spaces. I wrote a piece this week about the third down problems the Steelers have been having of late. Because this year, you'd think that really it's not that big a deal because they rank seventh in the NFL in third down conversions. But the past 3 weeks, they've been abysmal. They had 30% against the Chargers. I think it was 27% against the Jaguars, maybe 34% against the Broncos. We've been talking about one thing we've talked about before, I know, on the show, Tony, was how good the red zone offense has been because they're either the number two or number one red zone offense. But the problem is when you're not converting third downs enough, you can't get to the red zone. And that makes it harder to have those big kind of drives. And I think that's where if you want to look for a problem, that's where I'm looking right now. I know some people are talking about the run pass ratio and, oh, they need to call more run plays. I don't think it's that simple of an answer, because you call plays based off of your situation. And a lot of those run plays come when you're in a favorable run situation, not just, oh, well, let's just automatically run it on first and 10. Cause a lot of teams look for that. No, you want to run when you have them on a second and short situation, or you have a third and short situation, and sort of just do what's in front of you. And if Ben Roethlisberger, this is his offense, if he comes to the line and he thinks he sees something that he can make work through the air, I think at this point, being his offense, you have to let him take the reins and go with what happens there. I know it's produced some frustration of late, but I really do think that the more, again, this is his first year, just sort of having the reins of Todd Haley pulled off of him. I think that the more he does it and the more he learns from it, maybe we'll start to see some of these games as more as growing pains of how he makes those calls to the line. But I don't think the issue is the run pass ratio or anything like that. I think the issue is when they get to those money downs on third down, they struggle to read what's in front of them, and when they're fooled, that leads to mistakes, and that leads to the not converted down. They have to punt the ball away in those wasted possessions.
That's interesting. You know, well, I first of all, the run pass ratio thing, I think, you know, the fans that have been yelling about it for the past couple weeks, they're going to be, it's not going to be a great look for the Steelers on Sunday. I don't think they're going to be running the ball 20, 30 times with Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley. So the run pass ratio is going to be out of whack again this week, I feel like. But it's interesting to hear you talk about, you know, the teams kind of learning Randy Feakner's tendencies as a play caller and what Ben Roethlisberger is looking for in this offense, because one of the things that's really come up over the past 3 weeks is not just the third downs, but also the turnovers that Ben Roethlisberger's had. 6 turnovers in these 3 games. Some fans saying he's just being too careless with the football. I mean, is this a product of him being more careless or not reading defenses, or is just this just a product of the fact that he's also throwing the ball very often in these games? I mean, he's got 150 plus passes in the past 3 games. What's the source of Ben Roethlisberger's problems?
I mean, I'd say it's a mix of a few things. One, I've always said that reading defenses and consistently knowing the weaknesses of his opponents was Ben Roethlisberger's biggest weakness, because I didn't think I really looked at his successes, and he often just tried to win with him and his guys and what he liked to work. You know, when I look at it, I mean, you look at some of the interceptions he's thrown, and they're for different reasons. You know, like the Vance McDonald interception that he threw against the Chargers. I mean, it slipped out of his hand. If he floats it where he wants to over the defender, I mean, that might have been a touchdown to Vance McDonald. You know, and there's other times that he doesn't see things right. You know, I think I still believe that in the beginning of that Jaguars game that he was shook, and I think that he was trying to get his feet under him, and it took him until the fourth quarter to really figure that out. I think it's a mix of a few things, but I really think that the biggest thing is that he has to continue to grow comfortable in this system under Feakner. Cause I honestly don't, you know, no one's really asked Ben Roethlisberger this, but you and I both know that Todd Haley used to always talk about how we have a set 20 plays to start a game. You know, they would come into the game and they'd always have a set plays that they know how they want to set the tempo of the game, and that's how they want it to roll. I want to know, and I haven't had a chance to ask Ben Roethlisberger this because I haven't really been to a game since the Panthers game, but I want to know what kind of options does Ben Roethlisberger have when he's at the line? Does he have to stick with what the set play is? How many plays can he check into? And I think if we had an insight into that, that would help us understand the run-pass ratio, because I'm telling you, you know, there are times I think Ben Roethlisberger comes out and he says, you know what, I got Antonio Brown over here. If there's no safety going over there, I'm going to go get him. And I have a lot higher percentage of, if I can get the ball to Antonio on one-on-one, I like that better than trying to run James Conner into an 8-man box. And I think that might be the situation. And you look at some of Ben's mistakes. They've been different things in different moments. Him not reading the defensive adjustments after the snap, because that's the second level that I think that I've always seen with Ben, is that when he does make a pre-snap read, he'll see the alignment of the safeties and he'll think, okay, this is where they're going. And then at the snap of the ball, the safeties will rotate, and sometimes he sees it and sometimes he doesn't. And I think that's been a big factor. Like, for example, you remember the deep pass to Ryan Switzer that drew a pass interference in the first quarter? Well, that was an example of him doing it right, because the Chargers showed two high safeties. He saw one of them start to creep up and then back off. And so then, when he sees that, I see him sort of just wait. The one safety creeps up and helps underneath. The other safety just follows Antonio Brown. And so he sees Switzer crossing over the middle of the field. He's like, well, that's my shot. And that was the perfect read. And I said it on the live file at DK Pittsburgh Sports. I said, if he sees this game like that the rest of this night, the Steelers got a W coming. And the problem was, after that interception of Vance McDonald, he just didn't.
Yeah, he's really, like you said, I think the one point with the Chargers giving them different looks and that kind of thing, it really has felt like that's been a real problem for Ben over the past couple weeks. You know, when they line up, showing blitz and backing off of it, it feels like those are times that the Jacksonville jitters or whatever he had in that game. He just hasn't looked comfortable at times the past 3 weeks. And you've seen him miss some passes. I mean, the one to Hunter in this game was
It was so bad.
It's so strange too. Yeah. The Steelers are about to enter life without James Conner, as he's down with his ankle injury. Who knows when he's gonna be back? Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley take his place. Samuels says he's starting, although I expect to see a lot of Stephen Ridley in this game. In thinking about this matchup against the Raiders and looking at where the Steelers have been with their running backs, they've had to use them to chip a lot or stay back in pass protection because of the guys like Von Miller and Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa in the past couple weeks. I know, James Conner hasn't had a huge game in these past couple games, and it felt like the Steelers just went pass, but I feel like Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley can do some damage in this game out of the backfield, because the Steelers, and their front five should be fine blocking what is a pretty subpar Raiders pass rush. What do you think?
I mean, first of all, let's get one thing straight. I'm not sure if there's one matchup on the field that the Raiders can say, yeah, we like that.
Yeah, right, true. Very true.
Look across the board, Tony, and you'll see, dang, like, nope, that's Steelers fan. That favorite Steelers. Nope, that fit. I mean, the one thing that they may have on their side is Jared Cook on offense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, defensively, they have 10 sacks on the year. 10 sacks! I mean, that's horrid. And they don't stop the run either. I don't see. I mean, and again, this is a team that I said when they signed John Gruden to this 10-year deal, I was like, you are selling your soul to not the devil, but just someone that's not good at their job. they really tie for last when it comes to rushing defense this year. They're giving up over 150 yards on the ground. This could be a game for Ridley and Samuels and maybe even Trey Edmonds to get some really good carries in. I do think that the Steelers offensive line can sort of just bully people here. They got Hurst, the rookie from Michigan that everyone sort of passed up on because of his medical problems. Arden Key's been having an interesting year. He's not been – he's been kind of a surprise to me because I thought him on that Raiders team would just sort of disappear. They got some young guys that'll be interesting. But all in all, I mean, this Steelers offensive line has faced some dogs this year and come out on top. So I fully anticipate them to bulldoze and to give the Steelers running backs the lanes to work. And that's what we'll start to see. Stephen Ridley, I think he's a hard runner. He wants a job. I think on the running downs, you got to try and see if he's able to pound the ball in. But see what Jalen Samuels has. Can he carry the rock a bit? I do think, like you're saying, this could be a big day for the Steelers running backs, especially the Steelers if they go up like 28 points at some point. I legit think that is a possibility. They could go 28 points, by the half or shortly after the half. And the Steelers, their defense is so suffocating that they could probably pack it in, get Ben Roethlisberger out of there, get Josh Dobbs in, and just work with the young guys, see if they can develop something on the ground. and you know, make sure that they're keeping their starters healthy for another week because the Patriots are coming up next.
Yeah, I would absolutely love that, but just so many weird things happen when the Steelers travel out to Oakland. Really, when they travel on the West Coast. True. As a Steelers fan, I'm a little worried about this one. I know it. You're right. It feels like the kind of game the Steelers should just, from the word go, just, you know, put up an easy 28 points in the first half and be done with it. But yeah, I mean it's a game in Oakland and weird things will happen. All right, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball because it wasn't like the Steelers defense fared any better than the offense did in the second half. Defensively, things kind of fell apart. You saw glimpses of it in the first half. You know, a lot of people are talking about the linebackers on wide receivers in this game, especially Keenan Allen. What was the deal with Keenan Allen there? How did the Steelers not have a plan there? Why was a linebacker matched up? Is the linebacker on a wide receiver thing, is that overblown a bit this week? Felt like in watching the All-22 that Keenan Allen really feasted wherever he was lined up or whoever was lined up across from him.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Pro Football Focus said there were 9 targets that Keenan Allen had while against linebackers. I saw only 8. And, you know, it's semantics at that point because there was one that he dropped where Marcus Allen and Vince Williams were close to him. So you could say either that was a linebacker or a safety target. But I think that the main thing is that you saw the Steelers were trying to compensate to not having Morgan Burnett and not having Cam Sutton. And they tried to at first by throwing Marcus Allen out there. You saw him out there early.
Yeah.
And on TV, it looked like Marcus Allen was doing all right. He was close to Keenan Allen on that drop, and there was the one play where Eckler caught it in the flat, and he flew up. And he hit him. He didn't bring him down. And then Chicolo brought him down. And you know, when I saw those two plays, I was like, okay, maybe Marcus Allen's there. And I was talking to Dale Lally, our beat writer, who was at the stadium because I was at the WPXI studios getting ready for the Final Word show after the game. And Dale was telling me, he's like, Chris, he looks lost. And when you look at the All-22, you do see he kind of looks like he doesn't know what he's doing out there. And so I think that's why you saw a lot more plays where linebackers were sort of playing in that middle of the field, and they were relying on LJ Fort especially to take on Keenan Allen over the middle of the field and at least limit him. And you know, part of something that I was wondering in my post game article was where was the scheme, because if you look at the stats on the Chargers, it is literally Keenan Allen, you know, close to 1,000 yards receiving, and then it's Melvin Gordon, Eckler, and then a bunch of other guys that you don't need to worry about. And
I know Mike Williams is exactly.
Right. And I think Mike Williams will be a talent in the NFL. I think Travis Benjamin he's sort of like a Darius Hayward Bay, where if he gets the ball, he's really fast. And you saw in the touchdown he scored against Mike Hilton. But I look at that, and I would have thought that, hey, the idea would have been, I'll leave a linebacker on Keenan Allen, but there's a safety coming too.
Yeah.
Or a slot corner, double that man, force Phillip Rivers to go elsewhere. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I realized it's sort of on the side where the Steelers, they pride themselves. They haven't given up a lot of big plays this year. And in fact, I know going into last week, between the weeks of from week 5 to week 12, they had given up the least yards on deep passes in that span of time of any team in the NFL. And if you think back this season, that's been a big part of their defense. They don't give up the splash play as much, where a running back's going for 40 yards or a wide receiver's getting behind them and no one's covering them, like you saw several times last year. And I think that's where their focus is. They're like, look, you can have the underneath stuff. We're going to stop you from beating us over the top, and eventually we're going to force you to make a mistake or get the stop. And early on, it was working. And again, I said this. I don't think that, you know, I think that there's some criticism to go with Keith Butler because his plan didn't work against Ken Wisenhunt's plan with Keenan Allen. I don't think it was abysmally horrible, fire Keith Butler bad, because when I look back, I see, you know, let's count the touchdowns for the Chargers. They have 4. You had one should have been called back for the false start, and Mike Hilton did freeze on that play because he thought that the Chargers jumped, and that's how Travis Benjamin got behind him. The second one was the one that should have been intercepted. Sean Davis just put his head down, took out Joe Hayden. It's one of those fluky type of plays. You had the punt return for a touchdown, which should have been also called back, but again, that's not on the defense. And then you had the run in from Justin Jackson, and that was a great run. But that was the only legitimate touchdown where I could say, by the Chargers' merit of their own effectiveness and play calling, that they actually pulled off. And everything else was kind of a circumstantial, fluky thing out of their control that just rolled their way. Some of that plays into the Steelers needing to finish plays and needing to make sure that they're covering their bases. But I think the majority of it is, you look at this, and the Steelers weren't completely out-schemed. I think there were just moments where Keenan Allen got the best of them, but the defense in the second half, yeah, they gave up the points. But you look at the way they gave up the points, it wasn't as if they stood no chance to stop those guys. They just had a lot of things go against them. And it'll be interesting to see if they can keep rebound against these two strong offenses that are coming in the next few weeks in the Patriots and the Saints. But I'm not seeing this as a cause for alarm when I look back and I see this last game.
Yeah, I think the only alarm there that I have is just the in-game adjustment, right? The idea that, okay, clearly the Chargers are going to Keenan Allen with regularity. The idea that John Bostic is covering Keenan Allen on the last play obviously is going to rub every Steeler fan the wrong way, and it should, right? I mean, it's a terrible matchup on what ended up being one of the biggest plays in the game. All right, and then the last thing I want to talk to you tonight is the defensive turnovers. Well, we talked about Ben Roethlisberger and his interceptions, and those have been bad. But equally bad is the idea that this team, which has been so good at getting to the passer and getting sacks, they're not getting turnovers. In fact, you talked about it—the fluky one where Hayden should have had an interception, and instead Sean Davis took his head off. Is this just unlucky on the Steelers' part, or is there something? Is this like the secondary is not playing the ball well enough, or what plays into the Steelers not being able to get these turnovers?
A few factors. One, they don't have the X factor player on defense. Ryan Shazier was that guy. And when you have a guy like that, not only does that player create turnovers, but the fear of him allows for other turnovers to be created by his teammates, because the offenses literally try to avoid them. Like how Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl, if people ever heard the XFM or the sound effects Super Bowl 45, Aaron Rodgers was literally telling his teammates, stay away from 43 because I'm not throwing near Polamalu. It's that kind of factor that plays into it. And they just don't have that guy in the middle of the field. Maybe Joe Hayden it can be that kind of corner on his good days. And they don't have that kind of edge rusher that strikes fear into the heart of every man. But they do have a lot of role players. They do have a lot of good players that are growing from their roles. And I think that when you look at the whole as to why the turnovers that happen is because they're playing disciplined defense. They're playing, conservative defense in the sense that, hey, they're not going to jump the pass, but they're also going to make sure you don't break my tackle and then bust off a 50-yard touchdown on a screen. And that's, I think, why you haven't seen those big plays this year. They're staying back. But also, I think that turnovers involve, it always involves the other team and how willing they are to be aggressive and how that might play into how you're playing defense. What's really funny about this whole situation? You know who the number one defense in the NFL right now is, Tony?
In turnovers?
In overall defense.
Oh, I used to be the Bills. I haven't checked in a while. Is it the Bills?
No, it's the Ravens. It's the Ravens.
Okay.
And you look at their numbers. They're giving up 208, around 280 yards per game. They're giving up 100. The Bills do have the number one pass defense at 187, but Baltimore's right behind them. They're giving less than 200 yards, in the air, and they're giving less than 90 yards on the ground. You look at all that, but then go to Baltimore's takeaways and you'll see they're behind the Steelers in interceptions. Like it's so baffling. Like their defense, which has been, arguably the best in the NFL this season, they're not just sitting there taking the ball off of everybody all the time. And I look at that and I'm like, well, that lends itself to show you that you don't necessarily have to be a turnover freak to create those plays. And again, when I'm looking at the Steelers, I'm seeing, okay, you know, they're playing with John Bostic, they're playing with Vince Williams, they're playing with Sean Davis. You know, none of these guys are guys in the middle of the field that are going to cut one way, turn the other, and intercept the ball the way that Ryan Shazier or Troy Polamalu, or how you're seeing some of the guys for the Bears do it on their defense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really think that when you look at, I mean, in turnovers, the Baltimore Ravens have 9 takeaways. The Steelers have 12.
That's incredible. Exactly.
Right. And there's some defenses like the Bears that have 30 takeaways and they are playing extremely well this year. But I think it also lends to show you something like for the Rams, for example, the Rams, they have 22 takeaways. But they also have a very leaky defense that gives up big plays. But I think part of this goes to show you that if your defense relies on turnovers to be a great defense, you're not going to be a great defense for long because turnovers aren't necessarily something you can control.
Yeah, you can't count on that.
Exactly. You can control down and distance. You can control, making sure you're winning the downs and being in your spot, taking away certain parts of the field to force offenses to have to be consistently great and fit passes in the tight windows at 6 and 7 and 8 yards a pop to beat you. And I think that's where you see the better defenses, the more consistent defenses, I'll say, do that. Because, I mean, look at the Jaguars. You know, they were insane last year. And they're still extremely talented this year. They rank high in a lot of things. But you've seen cracks in that defense. And I think you're seeing a few cracks in them against this Titans team, at least on that opening drive tonight when they were playing. The Titans walked down the field on them in the Thursday night game. They're not able to be consistent because if they're not creating turnovers, they're letting up longer drives and not getting the key stops and the key moments by tackling well and doing the fundamental things. And I think that's what the Steelers are doing well. So that's why when I tell people, I got to it with Mark Madden with this on the final word after the Chargers game, and he was like, turnovers are a major problem. I'm like, I don't think it's as big as people are making out to be. Yeah, it'd be nice if the Steelers could get some turnovers, but they can also do really, really well without them.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talk about it too, because I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the idea that the Steelers are doing so well with guys like Sean Davis and John Bostic and guys who coming into the season everyone was concerned about those players in their positions. The fact they're doing so well, I think it does mean that they have to be a little more conservative and that kind of thing. But I will say this, in hearing you talk about the teams who are doing well in the turnover ratio, the Rams, the Bears, the Jaguars, right? Those are teams that are able to get pressure with 4. I don't have the blitz statistics in front of me for those teams, but I know the Steelers lead the league or are like top 2 in the league in blitz percentage, and that's how they have to get to the quarterback. They love to manufacture. And I wonder if, something like that. The Steelers are probably in that way more open to having guys open downfield because they leave less guys in coverage, and I think that may play a factor in it as well. But I think you're right. I think the idea that the Steelers don't have turnovers isn't necessarily a bad thing because it has manifested itself another way, which is that they've stopped getting beat down the field. They've stopped giving up the 60, 70-yard touchdowns that we were seeing early in the year. All right, Chris, let people know. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, or even last year. I mean, remember, the reason that they were having to battle some of those tight games against the Colts, against the Packers when they didn't have Aaron Rodgers, it's because, Jacoby Brissett was hitting like 75 yard touchdowns to Rodgers, or when the Titans, even though that ended up being a blowout, they came out in the first play of the second half or the first drive of the second half and they went for an 80 yard touchdown. You're not seeing those plays this year. And I think that's really been helping this defense put up the numbers that they have and be more consistent. So yeah, I think that moving forward, as long as they keep that pace up, I think the turnovers will start to come, especially if the offense can put heat on teams. We've seen the past 2 games, the defense has done their job in the first half and kept offenses at bay and given the Steelers offense the chance to pile it on. Like, for example, if Ben Roethlisberger went up 23-7, if him and the offense can march down the field, put 6 up on the board in that opening possession of the second half, then the Chargers got to go into a little bit of desperate mode, You can pin your ears back a little bit more as a pass rusher and as a play caller, and then maybe you get some of those aggressive plays from Rivers that take more risk, and maybe you get a turnover off of that. Same thing goes for the Broncos. When they were up 17-10 and you saw them driving down the field, you know, if they score on that play instead of throwing the interception to Chris Harris, you know, maybe then Case Keenum can't be the short, you know, let me manage the sticks type of quarterback, and he has to throw down the field, and maybe you get the chance to create those turnovers. I think a lot of it's going to depend. Can the offense be consistent enough to build the leads so that this conservative defense, and that's what we have to look at. They're a conservative defense. They're not going to do this on their own, but put them in the position where they can afford to be aggressive because they know the offense is going to be aggressive. Then you might see the turnover number spike.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Chris, let people know where they can find your work.
Yes, indeed. DKPittsburghSports.com. My name is Chris Carter. I'm the NFL analyst there. We have a whole team that covers the Pirates, the Steelers, and the Penguins, and Pitt, and Penn State, and West Virginia, and all sorts of great college sports around the area. But, again, my name is Christopher Carter. I'm at Carter Critiques on Twitter. You can hit me up at any point in time, ask me a question. I run War Room, which is our post-game analysis, where I give grades on each position's performance, as well as film review. We do film review. We do Carter's Classroom every week, where we break down a key concept. This week we did third down conversions and why that they're a major factor in the wins and losses, more so than other things that are being talked about. So we do a lot of great talk there. I work with the great Dale Lally every week, who's been in the Steelers locker room since 1993. If you want to give us a look, check us out at dkpittsburghsports.com. You can try us out for a month at 99 cents. And right now, Tony, there's actually a special going on. If you buy a gift subscription right now to our website, it comes with a free comic book. We have the great Rob Ullman. He does these really cool old school, like, superhero style comic drawings of great Pittsburgh sports moments, and it's a great gift to give to a loved one or a friend that you're looking. You're not sure what to get for a sports fan. It's a great gift idea. Get out there, check us out on dkpittsburghsports.com. We got all sorts of specials for your holiday season, making holiday shopping a little bit easier.
There you go. Now check that out. All right, Chris. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, and that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back on Monday with my rapid reaction to that Steelers-Raiders game right here on Locked On Steelers.